Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Down to a final strike. Nick Castellanos, of course, hits the game-tying home run. Manny Machado, the walk-off sack fly in the 10th. Padres, in a series in which they had 14 combined hits, the fewest they've ever had in franchise history in a four-game series, they salvage a split somehow from St. Louis, and they move into a tie with the Dodgers for first place in the NLS. We will react to it over the next hour or so. It is the wrap-up show with John and Jim. So make your way in and subscribe. You know the deal. Smash that like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Shout out to Caspa12 for getting us started tonight by becoming a member. If you want to become a member, you get emojis and badges. Click the join button down below. We'll get to all of your super chats. We appreciate your support of this channel. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to your super chats here tonight. Before we go anywhere, Jim has been complaining to me for 24 hours about his haircut. He's telling me it's way too short. And of course, the first comment in the stream is not about Castellanos or Machado or the offense or Tatis's bat or about the split. It's about your damn hair.
Yeah. You know
how
me.
How mad are you?
I'm very, very, very particular about my hair. Very. And I've been going to this dude since I got to Philly. He's been good. And for whatever reason, he decided to like chop off all of my hair. And it was like, bro, you know that like when they're done cutting and they turn you around, right? And then you see yourself in the mirror for the first time, yeah. And you're like, so what do you think? He does that to me, and in my head, I'm like, oh my fucking God. He chopped off all my hair. But of course, my dumb ass was like, looks great. Because what am I going to say? Can you put my hair back on my head? I'm just like, so I'm not going to him anymore. Sorry. He's done well for me, but this was no. Done. It was absolutely brutal.
Great question. Like, how much did you tip?
$5.
So you did the normal like tip?
I did a normal tip. But I'm like, I get home and I'm pissed. And Aaron's like, it looks fine. And I'm like, you don't understand. I mean, this motherfucker chopped off all of my hair. And I can't even like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Listen, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
it
how.
It could be a lot worse. Dude, it's so bad. Like, I have no hair. And I'm like, all I said was take a little off the top.
I want a low fade. And he gives me this fucking like high fade with like nothing, dude. It's been the last 24 hours. I've just all I could think about is how bad my haircut is. Yeah,
dude, it's awful. It grows back every time.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? It's just
it takes a minute, okay?
It doesn't grow back in 24 hours.
Let's get into this game. I mean, you and I are both watching it because we're texting back and forth in real time. I mean, I'm sitting here. And I never cook. And I'm cooking a dinner on Mother's Day. And I'm watching this game. I was cooking in the middle of the afternoon. Dude, HelloFresh. It was impossible. They're so confusing. It's only like six directions.
It's the easiest thing in the world to do.
No joke. Kirsten could vouch for this. It took me 2 hours and 15 minutes. It should take 20 minutes. I had no clue.
What was it?
I had to Google mints. I had to Google something with limes. You had to squeeze them a proper way. I don't know.
Oh my god, what was it?
So I'm sitting there at like 2 in the afternoon, whatever time it was, right? Well before dinner, and I'm making this like Mexican dish. And I'm like, this team, like, they can't do anything. And there's Nick Castellanos, and there's 2 strikes, and then he breaks his bat, and there's this other random bat. And by the way, the closer he's facing has the longest streak in baseball of not allowing a home run, 59 2/3 innings.
They showed
longest
the graphic.
Streak in the sport. They put the graphic up. Credit to them and Don, because they were trying to work that. So credit to them. And then a 3-2 pitch. Castellanos does what he does. I mean, he's done that a lot in his career. I mean, that's kind of why he's here. Mm-hmm. And what a pickup, honestly, for just a moment like that. And it changes everything. They end up winning the game, and they salvage the series. Jim, it meant so much. They have a tough schedule here. Milwaukee, the Dodgers are coming. You lose this, you're kind of sliding, but you win this. Listen, their offense is a complete and utter train wreck. It is a disaster, just an embarrassment right now. Manny said as much post-game, but they won the game, and they're 24-16, and they've played a quarter of their season. And how can you complain about that?
It's insane. It doesn't make any sense. Toddy has no home runs. Manny's hitting 191. They don't have Nick Pivetta.
Toddy's bat.
Well, yes, Toddy's bat has a home run, but Fernando Tatis Jr., like the actual person, doesn't have a home run.
Good point.
And they're tied with the Dodgers for first place in the National League West. It's incredible. Their top three hitters all have OPSs under 700.
Yeah.
And Manny Machado, to his credit, he's hit for power.
He's hit 6 homers.
But like, other than that, nothing. It doesn't make any sense. And that is it's concerning, and it has to be concerning. But at the same time, if you want to look at on the glass half full side, it's like, well, what happens when these guys eventually get hot, right? That's what I think a lot of people are thinking is like, what's going to happen? And we've talked about this, when eventually, knock on wood, Manny and Merrill and Tatis, they actually, start producing and they become hot. I don't know. It's crazy. Doesn't make any sense. But Nick Castellanos, I think one of, if not the bat of the year, especially given like how bad this team was on offense this entire series. I mean, 14 hits in the entire series. 14.
And, 4 games.
And they split the series.
Insane. Did you hear the Castellanos 5-minute postgame in the clubhouse that Marty posted on our YouTube page by chance or not?
I heard a little bit of it.
I mean, he's very like, he's an interesting interview, but
he doesn't say anything.
It was funny.
He's a hard interview.
Derek Togerson asked him 4 straight questions, and the first 3 he was like entertaining, and Derek's like, can you believe you homered using Toddy's bat before Toddy did? And he's like, he just stared right through him. He's like, that's rude.
I do think that's a little bit of, I don't think it's Castellanos like upset. I think that's just the way he is.
Maybe. That's what I'm saying. That's why I say it was kind of an interesting interview in general. It was a little bit of a bold line of questioning for someone's teammate. It's an amazing story that he has never used Tatis's bat before. He was asked, it was a good question from Derek, do you know the weight and length of the bat? He's like, I have no idea. He's like, I kind of assumed everyone's within like a similar ballpark, so to speak. But it's like, I had no bats in the dugout. I just took his, or he offered his, and it all just paid off immediately.
That's insane.
It's insane. They hadn't done anything. And then you're facing like an elite closer. It's not Mason Miller, but the guy's numbers were filthy.
Guy's nasty.
And he's a guy that gets ground balls. And he just freaking pounded that thing. He really did. I mean, that was a no-doubter by Padres standards. And
anything over the wall is a no-doubter by Padres standards. <yeah. laughs> Even if it just grazed the top and fall and goes over.
I will say this. I'm not gonna comment right now about the Tatis almost home run, but we've reached the point where we're talking about almost home runs, obviously. But the Tatis at bat in the 10th was a really good one because he fell behind 0-2. He was bonding and he like took a pitch in and fouled it off. And then he walked. And at that point, the wheels were in motion because you had loaded the bases, nobody out. So I thought that was a very good at bat from Tatis. Tatis has reached base. I don't know what it is, 340, 350. He's been fine. I thought today, I mean, you watch this play. I watched it back. Like, if that's not a home run, I don't know if we'll ever hit one this season. But it feels like he's getting closer. But again, it's not like he's not hitting 150. He's helping this team in some capacity. His bat is helping this team, and the Padres win the game.
Well, coming off of Friday's awful performance by him, defensively and at the plate, Came back on Saturday, hit the game-winning hit early in the game, but still turned out to be the game-winning hit.
Yeah.
A little duck snort into right. But, hey, counts as a line drive in the box score.
Right.
And then today, at first I'm thinking to myself, like, bro, why are they telling him to bunt? Like what? But right. I get it. You just at that moment you're just like he can't hit the ball in the air. He literally cannot hit the ball in the air. So like we need to get the runners over. And if Tatis hits a ground ball 150 miles per hour off the bat to their shortstop, it's a double play. So hey, the odds of you hitting ground ball are very high. So like give us a bunt and move the runners over. So I get it. Past Tatis, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But this version of Tatis, I understandable. You put together a great at bat, and then of course, Manny gets just enough in the outfield to win the game. I mean, this team was dead. They were dead.
They did nothing.
It was gonna turn into an awful series, and now it turns into, hey, we split with the Cardinals, and you feel semi good with yourself just based on your record alone. But there's a lot of things with this team that are still very concerning. But the one thing that they do, maybe as good as anybody in baseball, even though they have one of the worst offenses in baseball, is they come up incredibly clutch. And they have had some crazy come from behind victories, have they not?
12 of their 24 wins trailing in the seventh inning or later. Think about that.
So like
12 of their 24 wins.
That's crazy.
Trailing in the seventh inning or later. And to your point, I don't know if that's sustainable, but you've done it for 40 games. You have some built-in equity now.
You should need guys to get
I don't know how they
going a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can't rely on that because you're right. That's not sustainable, I don't think. Maybe it is. I don't know. But it doesn't feel like
That itself is sustainable. Manny's 0-for-4 today, comes through in that spot, is hitting 191. This is not who Manny Machado's ever been. He's not a 190 hitter. Like when people question whether this guy's bat would play deep into his 30s, I was wondering like would the power, hold up. But I never thought this guy, the wheels would fall off of the plate. And I don't think they have, by the way. I just think he's mired in a 40-game stretch where he can't hit the side of the barn by and large. Merrill had a couple of the hits today. Again, to your point, Merrill, Machado, Tatis, Sheets is under 700 with his OPS. The top four in your lineup have a sub 700 OPS. I thought Bogarts, by the way, had an excellent at bat to start the ninth inning to get on. Yep. He has been very solid for this team, but there's no one really. I mean, just look up and down this thing and it's been inept, but you're 24-16. And it's like, I don't know what to think, Jim. We've covered baseball a long time. I've watched a lot of baseball in my life. This is atypical in terms of putting together a 600 winning percentage. This is not how it typically works. So I don't know what to think about the final 120 games if we don't see a lot of differences with this offense. But at some point, we'll see better offense, right? Because that's just an inevitability. The weather will warm, the season will get going, and this team will, have more than 14 hits in a four-game series, right?
You would think so. And the thing with Manny, he's hit 191 on the year, but he's got six home runs and he's got 20 RBIs. So like
20 RBI is good total. Times it by 480 plus, even with this shit start.
That's Manny's baseball card, right?
Yeah.
28 homers.
And you're right. Times four, 24, 25 home runs, even with this crappy start.
If you told me right now Manny hits 26 home runs with 87 RBIs this year, like, yeah, okay.
What's his batting average going to be? In the 240s?
I mean, at this rate, he would need to get like extremely hot to get in like the 260s, 270s. At the end of the year, if he's in the 240s, 250s, I think you take it because that would mean that he'd play much better for the rest of the season to get there, would he not? I mean, so I think when you look at Manny, I said it all year long. Yeah, he's hitting 191 and it's bad, but you know what? It's Manny. He's going to get his numbers eventually. It's just, I think when you look at this offense, they just do a lot of things that aren't good. But then all of a sudden, there's this like switch that's flipped. And it's like, where the fuck did that come from? Like, huh?
I know.
Right? Like, a two-run homer off of one of the elite closers in baseball today from Nick Castellanos to tie it up. And then they put together that 10th inning, great at bat by Tatis to draw the walk. And then Manny hits the sack fly, boom, easy, how you doing? Game over.
Like, by the way, and crazy. By the way, here's the other thing. Walker Buehler, 6 innings, 2 runs.
That's two.
Ron Marinaccio goes 2 innings. Like, this is how they do it, dude. Because what other team?
Timely hitting.
Yeah, what other team is going to, like, if you go down by more than two, the game is just over, obviously, with the benefit of hindsight. And they keep you in it. Brachi Rodriguez and Ron Marinaccio. You don't go to your A team initially, but you're trailing by 2 runs.
Estrada's
but like all of a sudden, like Buehler, that's a good outing. It's probably like his best outing.
Didn't he retire the first like 7 or 8?
Yeah. I mean, I think he let 3 hits. Yeah, he let 3 hits.
Again, it was cruising. I mean, this game was going by pretty quickly.
It was. So I don't know. And here's the other thing. Lucas Giolito, I think, is through his final rehab.
So you're gonna, 6 innings, 1 run or something like that.
He was really good, and they're gonna add him to the equation in the next 5 days. So that'll shake up the rotation again. I don't know what to think. I mean, I'm talking myself through it in real time. And nobody's watching this more than we are and consuming it and talking about it more than we are. I don't know what to say. If they would have lost today, I would have been killing this team.
Especially with the way this offense has been performing. It's just the pendulum swing with this team when they lose, how their offense is. Yeah, they deserve to get killed and crushed. But then they pull a rabbit out of their ass and they win the game. And you're like, fuck, they're the tie with the Dodgers. I mean, it doesn't look pretty by any means. It does not look good. I mean, this 24-16 start, it's not a pretty 24-16, is it? It doesn't feel pretty.
It's not.
It feels like they're lucky to be 24-16.
They are.
And I think there's a metric out there. The Padres are one of the luckiest teams in baseball to this point in the season.
I think it's accurate, yeah.
And it shows. I mean, obviously, the saying is, you know, you'd rather be lucky than good sometimes. But you can't have that motto for a 162-game season. You just can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to fathom that they're at this point. And I can't wait. And this probably isn't even fair. But when they do face the Dodgers, I do want to see what it looks like. You know, does it wake up the Padres?
I want to see what happens when they face the Braves.
Oh, I want to see what happens when they face the Brewers, who I think have a very good offense, and go to Milwaukee.
Braves are the best team in baseball. They just beat the shit out of the Dodgers.
I know. So, yeah, there's a lot still to come here, but it's hard to discount the fact that they're 24-16. Like, that is a freaking good start. 24-16, 600 baseball.
Take it.
Take it. And even to your point, like yesterday, they just found a way, and Tatis had the big moment, and they win with pitching, and it wasn't with their offense yesterday either that they won the game. So, and I really like San Luis, by the way. Good, young team. Certainly, I thought, had earned a series win on the road. So I like San Luis. You're going to be vying with a team like that for the postseason, so good to get a split. All right, let's get back to this conversation in a moment. Guys, if you are here, we appreciate your support of the channel. Please subscribe. Early edition of the wrap-up show. If you're here live, thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them. Click the dollar sign below the chat box if you want to see your comment on screen. If you want to control the direction of the conversation, if something's on your mind, or if you just want to support the channel. And if you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks as well. We'll get back to the conversation. I want to thank our title sponsor of the wrap-up show, Mark Nimitz, who has been with us 4 or 5+ years on the wrap-up show. He's been with us since day one. If you support this channel, please support Mark with whatever your insurance need is, if it's auto or home or renters or life. I have 4 insurance policies through Mark. If you ever need him, trust me, he's been there for me and my family year in and year out. He's a diehard Padres fan, a native San Diegan, and a great insurance agent. He's got great service and communication. He's going to save you time and money. So if you support this channel, before you renew your current insurance policy, get in contact with Mark Nimitz. I'll talk to you about the Padres. I'll talk to you about saving money. Click that link in the description down below.
And all his information, as you see it on the screen right there, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. And reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
All right, so I'm trying to go back. I mean, we've touched on all of this. The moment where Castellanos breaks his bat and goes to Tatis's bat, honestly, is an amazing moment. Like,
of course it's Tatis's again, bat too, right?
It's like, say that again.
I said, of course, that bat, yeah. I hope it's not broken because tomorrow, Tatis needs to use that bat. I mean, that bat has at least a home run in it. We know he can do it. So, like, he better be using that bat tomorrow.
Don't you find that incredible that the guy that actually has not homered, like one of the only bats in baseball for a player that has no home runs on it, and you get that bat on a whim and homer with that bat when he hasn't done it for 6 weeks.
And another thing too, he's going through it. Obviously, you saw what he looked like in the dugout after that ball he hit that didn't get out. I mean, it is wearing on him. And, you know, the thing that happened Friday night with the error and then skipping out on the media and everyone having an opinion on that and thinking like, oh, he's fine. It's like, dude, he's a fucking professional athlete. He's paid to talk to the media and do all that shit. When you skip out on the media, that's a bad look. Sorry, it just is. But to his credit, came back the next day, had a really good game, had the game-winning hit, spoke to the media about that moment, moved on. Today had another good game, but the home run drought, it feels like it's really getting to him. Because you just look at his body language in that dugout. I mean, there's pictures all over social media of him just sitting there like this. Right?
I mean, how did that ball not get out?
It was a homer in 12 of 30 ballparks. So it wasn't like it was a no-doubter everywhere else and it just died at Petco.
Right.
But still,
he hit it in the wrong part of the yard, obviously. You know.
Yeah, he did. And I'm sure off the bat, he's like, oh, shit, I got it. But that's the crazy thing is, like, again, that 2021 version, it will never go away. It will always be a reference point for Tatis in his career. 2021, that ball is in the top level of the fucking bullpen area.
It's over. It's like past the second bullpen. Yeah.
Right. And we all probably know why it is. But at the same time, you know, now he can't buy one if his life depended on it.
Dude, do we understand how long 40 games is for a slugger to not homer?
A long time.
At any point, at any stretch. That's at any stretch. 40 games. I mean, and it will come. And I feel like, honestly, a moment like today gets you maybe closer because at this point, you can kind of maybe feel it, although they are off tomorrow. They're going to a bandbox of a ballpark in Milwaukee.
Oh, that's right.
They're but I've said that. I've said that 100 times though. They're going to Colorado. They're going to Mexico City. They're facing this shit staff. He's due. right? I mean, how many times have we said? I said 9 games in. I'm like, he hasn't homered. That's interesting.
Now it's 40.
I know. I said that 9 games into the year.
40 fucking games. He has not homered.
But isn't it amazing too that you can have a $340 million player that hit 42 home runs in a season that hasn't homered, and you could be 24-16? Well, how is that even possible?
That's exactly the point of the moment right now with this team. They're 24-16, and they're tied with the Dodgers in the National League West. And I don't even know. I can't even tell you how. It's like their offense sucks. They're missing Nick Pivetta. Who the hell knows when Joe Musgrove's going to return? Manny's hitting 191, and Fernando Tatis has 0 home runs on the season. Huh?
How?
What?
It is a Houdini act. It's a Craig Stammen special. It's, I don't even know. Their pitching, their defense, their bullpen. Bullpen hasn't even been, like, perfect. It hasn't. They've had some good moments, but it has not been perfect, and they're 24-16. Good segue, Jim, to our new partner here on the wrap-up show. We've got a brand new sponsor, the Freedom Boat Club, player of the game. So Freedom Boat Club, welcome to the channel. By the way, you can find all the information you need about Freedom Boat Club below. Click that link in the description down below. Hassle-free, unlimited boating. But before we tell you about Freedom Boat Club, Jim, you tell us your player of the game for the Padres today.
Our very first Freedom Boat Club player of the game is Fernando Tatis Jr.'s bat. His bat. That is the player of the game, the Freedom Boat Club player of the game, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s bat. If it wasn't for the bat, we would have a completely different conversation tonight. Yes, Nick Castellanos had to hit the baseball, but that bat, I'm telling you, the bat was the player of the game.
Dude, put that bat somewhere. No, I mean, bring that bat with you to Milwaukee and hit
Don't
more.
Leave it. Like, yeah, take it with you.
You both can use that from now on. Castellanos and
how about
Tatis,
everybody uses it? The whole fucking team uses it.
All 9
it.
Guys keep passing that thing around. There's some good luck in that thing. Freedom Boat Club handles maintenance, trailering, haulouts, cleaning. Members get to enjoy the boats. Over 70 boats in San Diego, by the way, across 5 marinas. Learn more about hassle-free, unlimited boating right here in San Diego. Gorgeous weekends like this. Click the link in the description down below. All right, John and Jim with you here on the wrap-up show. Padres off on Monday, 24-16, tied with the LA Dodgers for first place in the NL West. LA, by the way, will be here the next homestand, which is a lengthy one after the Padres get back from a weird trip, I think, Milwaukee and Seattle. But that's your two series trip, and then LA will be here to kick off a long homestand coming up next week. Yeah, James, appreciate you saying that. Guys, please support our partners here on the wrap-up show, whether it's the New Freedom Boat Club or Mark Nimitz or our friends at Prize Picks and SeatGeek. Again, we can't do this content as often as we do it without the support of everyone here live and our partners as well on the wrap-up show. But yeah, this one, again, it's like we keep saying the exact same thing, but this is one of those examples though, Jim, where it's like if they lost this game, this one carries weight for me. It's not about momentum or turning point. It just carries weight because a loss today, look at all the trend lines, dude. It's losing series. It's not playing well. The offense would have been just sticking out like a sore thumb heading into that off day. This changes that. It changes the storyline. I'm not saying it's a turning point or there's some momentum in it, although heck, there not be some momentum in what played out there in the ninth inning. But there, very rarely do I say something like that, where it's like, oh, one game, I'm literally going to go completely opposite in my take off of what happened there in the ninth inning. But how could I not? How could I not based on what happened? Because if they lose this game 2-0 and they're shut out at home on 13 hits in four games, I honestly think we would have gone ballistic today at 23-17. I would be like, this isn't sustainable. It's going to catch up. This offense needs to be improved. Some of that is still the case, but it lives to see another day or a series because of how this played out in this fashion.
This game today gives them a shot in the arm. You know, saying, okay, you know, they lost the first two games of the series. They looked really bad. Friday night being the worst. And then you get the win on Saturday, and then you pick up the improbable win today. It's a shot in the arm for sure. But it's to me, it's a little bit of like putting lipstick on a pig.
Potentially.
Yep. I'm not saying it is 100% that, but it feels a little bit like it. Just because when I look at these numbers on offense, they're not that's not going away. That like look at their numbers. It is awful. And now they pick up wins and whatnot. You stack as many wins as possible so you can, you know, not look the other way at those numbers, but the conversation on those numbers isn't as loud as it would be if, you know, they keep losing like they have been recently with the lack of offense. So the win today, the two wins on Saturday and today, it's a little bit of a shot in the arm, and it definitely on an off day tomorrow quiets the conversation of just how bad this offense is. But I guarantee you, if they go out in Milwaukee, the first game in Milwaukee or, you know, who are they playing next? I'm sorry.
It's Milwaukee then Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah. If in the first game against Milwaukee, they lose 6-0, guess what? Wednesday, the conversation turns right back to the offense. So like, it quiets it for a day, and yes, it kind of masks it because it was an improbable type of win. Like, they should not have won that game. But it's better than the alternative, right?
Yes.
It's better than the alternative.
Dude, listen to this insanity. 61 hits in their last 10 games is their fewest in a stretch since 2019.
Is that from Kevin? So
this is from Kevin.
Yeah.
They're 5-5, though. They're 5-5 in those games. So it's not like they're 2-8, you know, with 61 hits in 10 games. And they're bottom three in OPS and batting average now in baseball. Bottom three in on-base plus slugging and batting average. So you can't have it one way or the other. Be like, well, they have a low batting average, but they slug. Or they have a high batting average, but they don't slug. No, they have neither. They don't hit and they don't hit for power.
No.
And they don't reach base safely.
But they win.
And here's a direct quote from Machado. In Kevin's article, it sucks. This Machado after the game, it sucks. We need to hit. I mean, you know, look, it's obvious. We're not hitting. It's obvious, but we're getting things done.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the thing. And he knows it. They know it. This doesn't feel, it's not sustainable. Like, it just doesn't feel sustainable. You need to hit. I mean, we're going to get to a situation potentially again where postseason comes around. Are we really going to expect the team that's ranked 21st in offense to win a World Series, or 20? You know, like the bottom tier in baseball. No,
not no, not obviously not.
If it's not in this, this, not against the Braves or the Dodgers or the Cubs. I guess it's not happening.
Right.
So they have to turn it around. It's kind of like, you know, the saying in football, it's like there's no style points and wins, like pick up wins. It's a little bit how I feel right now. It's like stack up the wins, kind of who cares how it looks, but eventually it needs to get better on offense. It's just there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It has to get better if they are going to try to compete for a World Series. You can't go through a year this bad on offense. You just can't.
You could say, well, you know, hey, Jim and John, it's early May. You know, there's a trade deadline. There's, again, a team with Jackson Merrill, Manny Machado, and Fernando Tatis Jr. that hasn't hit. Yes, I buy some of that. I do. But are they really going to be a top 12 offense in the sport this year?
No, like, but you know what I mean? They need to be at least no worse than I would say 18th.
Which is still doable, obviously, but even 18th, I mean, are you going to be like, hey, the 18th best offense is going to get it done this postseason?
That's the thing, dude. I mean, maybe you need to go on like a generational hot stretch on offense to get in the top 15. I mean, top 15, okay. I can make an argument that you can win a World Series if you're the 14th best offense in baseball.
Sure, sure.
But like 22nd, 23rd, I'm sorry. I don't see it. It would be extremely difficult in today's game with a bottom tier offense to win a World Series, unless you have like Glavin and Smoltz and fucking Maddox out there on the mound for you. And even then it's difficult. It's like you need like some generational type of pitching to do that. I mean, I know the Giants won all those World Series. They had some insane like generational type of pitching, but at the same time, those offenses, while bad for the Giants, I don't remember them being like 25th in baseball.
Right. So let me ask it this way then. Do you consider, like, does it matter because it's May that the Padres obviously aren't the equal of the Atlanta Braves? It, like, obviously they're not. Like, I'm telling you right now, the Padres are not as good as the Atlanta Braves. But does it matter? And here's my other question.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Yeah, they're even with the Dodgers, but do you feel as if that's even a possibility? Like the division conversation that we always do, the Lucy pulling the football away for 8 straight years.
Talk to me. Like, talk to me in late August. Talk to me late August.
That's what I'm saying. And last year in August, they led in the division by a game or a game and a half.
Talk to me in late August. And like to compare yourself with those teams, I'm just looking at, I can say confidently right now, Braves, Dodgers.
The Cubs have been amazing.
Cubs have been incredible at home. And just they've been, I mean, I would say those three teams right now are like, I could confidently say they will be, barring any major injuries, they will be in the hunt for a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to get past those three teams. I just can't put the Padres on that tier, even though they have the same record as the Dodgers. I just like it feels like a little bit of smoke and mirrors at times with this team, but it's hard to ignore all the comeback victories and all the kind of like pulling the shit out of their ass. And it just has to get better though. I'm sorry. It just has to get better. There's no
it
way
has to it. Get better. I would honestly, dude, I would love to know what the front office, specifically AJ Preller, are thinking about where they stack up. They're all thrilled, I'm sure, with the record because they see the numbers beyond what we see. So they understand that this is
improbable. It buys them time. When they win like this, it buys them time to hopefully figure things out and then plan for the trade deadline and know like exactly what they need to do. That's what it does. It just buys them time.
I don't even know what they'll, I mean, if the trade deadline was a week from today, I'd say go get offense, but I'd be like, okay, like how, what's your path?
Luis Arise.
Luis Arise, come on down. Exactly. Ethan Salas got, I mean, I joke about that, but I think it's more about even if they're not hitting as you approach the deadline, it's still more about Merrill Tatis Machado than it is about adding some bat. You know,
those are the three guys. If they can get hot and get right, it changes the whole conversation. Cause like you just need those guys to perform, and they're just not doing it right now to the level that they're capable of.
Simple as that. And that's it's not like one guy. It would be one thing if it's like, man, Merrill's been awesome. And Machado's tearing the cover off the baseball, and Tatis cannot hit a lick. Okay. But it's not one guy, truthfully. In fact, it's not even just those three guys. Like, look up and down the lineup. There's a lot of sub-700 OPSs in that lineup. Jay Cronenworth, I'm looking at you. I know you're out, but you've been awful.
He's been like one of the worst players in the sport at the plate.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm Steven Souza Jr., I'm a little concerned. I'm thankful that I'm 24-16. Because that's buying me hopefully the season, but I'd be a little concerned with the performance of the offense. I'll tell you that. All right, guys, if you are here, about 300 people here live right now, please subscribe. We have year-round Padres coverage for you. Also, please check out – oh, wait, I forgot to tell you to hit it.
Son of a
– how do you do that? You have to show me how to do that.
it's not hard.
All right, Padres are off tomorrow, so we remind you with our promo code HMA at PrizePicks, you're going to get $5. You play $5, you get $50. You get $50 instantly. Let's take a look at Lakers Thunder game 4, because I know Thunder are kind of your team right now.
LeBron's last game in the NBA.
No, could it be? He's back, right?
I don't know, man.
Well, then if it's his last game, he scored more than 22.5 points, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Who else is? I mean, this Oklahoma City is toying with this team. They're just having the time of their life.
Fucking hate Oklahoma City. Give me Austin Reaves more than 32.5.
That's rebounds, points, and assists.
I think Austin Reaves is going to have a big night tomorrow. I think Lakers aren't going to. I don't see LeBron Lakers getting swept. So I'm going to go LeBron more than 22.5 points. Reaves more than 32.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
We need a Thunder. Player.
Give me Shea. I think Shea can have a big night. Give me Shea more than 40. Lock it in.
Okay. Give me one more thing. You want a Marcus Smart decent night? You want a Rui decent night? You want Luke Kennard to do something?
give me Rui. Give me a Rui good night.
All right. We'll give you more on Rui. Okay, guys. That's how simple and easy it is to play at Prize Picks. $5 pays 50. But here's the thing. You can flex that. And you only have to get three out of four right to still win 5 times your money. So that's how simple and easy it is. Get three of those right out of four. You flex it, and you're winning 5 times your money as easily as that. Use our promo code HMA. Click the link in the description down below. Play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups.
Yeah, it's super easy to play, as you saw right there. Just pick more or less on a couple player stats. Lock it in. You can win money, big money. All you got to do is use our promo code HMA. So when you sign up for Prize Picks, use our promo code HMA. If you want to follow us and follow our picks as well, I'm at JimRussell03. John is at John Schaefer. So check it out. Download the app. Use our promo code HMA and start winning money today.
All right. So appreciate our friends over at Prize Picks. Have you looked at the NL Central standings anytime
NL
recently?
Central.
NL Central. With all five teams over 500?
But I know it's probably one of the better teams and better divisions in baseball.
I mean, it's insane.
Cubs, like, Cardinals, Brewers, those three teams are probably going to make the playoffs. It feels like that right now.
They could, yeah.
Reds got some.
They've been awful.
Well, the Reds started out hot and then they sucked.
Yep. Yep.
Pirates, and they lost today.
They're 22-19, though.
Pirates always do this. They're like, oh, could this be the Pirates' year? And then they finish 75 wins. Like, it just always happens every single year with the Pirates.
I just think in general, the Brewers, like, Brewers are 6 games over .500. They're 13-8 at home. Like, it's a good test. Going to Milwaukee and then going to Seattle. I know Seattle, again, is coming off the high expectations of last year.
Cal Raleigh, oh.
I know, and they haven't lived up to it, obviously, to start their year. But, you know, I don't think it's a pushover. And then you come home and face the Dodgers. Another reason I thought today was critical, because if you lost, you're like, going to Milwaukee, going to Seattle, home for the Dodgers, you're playing poorly. Mm-hmm. Again, I can put that off now for another moment because of what's to come. But this is one of those parts of the schedule we say over the years, like when a schedule stiffens, I think they're in that right now with the St. Louis's and the Milwaukee's and the Dodgers, for example. Yeah,
it was a shot in the arm today. You pick up today's win and you feel really good about yourself going into this tough stretch. And, you know, when you look at the teams they're facing, yeah, it's going to be a tough test for sure. And they got to figure out how to weather the storm through the Milwaukee's and the Seattle and the Dodgers and the Braves. Like, it's going to be tough. By the way, if I'm a Mariners fan,
yeah,
that last year was their best shot.
Of course.
I would never get over that. I would still be pissed off about that today. And if you're a Cal Raleigh fan and you're obviously a Mariners fan too, like, he's never going to win a MVP.
Right.
I mean, that was his chance. He had a career magical year and still didn't win the MVP. I mean, that is just the all-time Seattle Mariners just franchise in a nutshell. Like, you get an amazing season from Cal Raleigh, 60 home runs, finished his second in the MVP. Go to the ALCS, game seven, you have the lead, you lose.
Dude, you talk about horrific off seasons, Seattle and Toronto.
Off seasons?
Oh, I mean, just the way your season ended.
Oh,
Seattle's ending is horrific. Especially for their franchise, they've never been to a World Series.
Blue Jays is way worse.
But they're both – Seattle never been to a World Series.
Yeah, Blue Jays at least have won World Series, but like
– Dude, you're winning in the ninth inning of Game 7 of the World Series.
I know.
Toronto.
And then you're down – dude, one strike away and Miguel Rojas is up, dude.
Right. You think it's bad today if you're a Cardinals fan.
Oh.
This is just some random, you know, May game. Like, oh, my gosh.
By the way, speaking of – the Blue Jays. Have you seen what Dylan Cease is doing?
He's been really good. Yeah, I know. And I thought that deal was such a reach.
Oh, me too. Of course, it's like turned out to be like amazing.
He's got a 2.58 in the American League somehow.
Jeez.
A 2.58. Where was that player last year? Could have used him.
2.58, 66 strikeouts and 45 and a third innings pitched.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Except the best pitcher in the American League is Cam Schittler.
Is it Cam Schlitter, right?
It's Schlittler. It's
yeah.
It's Schlittler.
Okay.
Dude's got a 1.35 ERA and 53 and a third innings pitch, 59 strikeouts and a .81 whip.
Jesus.
Yeah, bro.
Trade for him. Forget about Mason Miller.
You want to know what your boy Nicky Martinez is doing with the Tampa Bay Rays?
Well, they've been great, so I'll say he's been good.
He's got a 1.7 ERA and 47 and two-thirds with a 1.05 whip. He's 4-1.
Baseball's so weird. Isn't baseball the weirdest game, dude?
Good for him, dude. Nick Martinez balling out, bro.
Everything we've talked about today, though, makes no sense. Dylan Cease, great. Manny Machado can't hit. Nick Martinez, great. Like, all these things that we're referencing, like, yeah, again, baseball, it's insane. Cal Raleigh.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what he did last year.
He's like a 500 tonight. OPS.
It's ever since he didn't shake his teammate's hand or whatever. In the
oh, yeah. What a douche.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I don't know. Oh, yeah. What are your like Lucas Giolito? Do we think Lucas Giolito's coming here and like, oh, man, he's gonna be your, you know, number two in your rotation? I don't think that's who he is. I just think he's like he's serviceable and hopefully he's reliable and healthy and helps you get where you're trying to go. But I don't have these like crazy high expectations. I know he's good today in his last rehab start, but I mean, his career numbers are fine, but he's never been like a number one or number two in a rotation.
You're not asking him to be that. Are you? Are you asking him to be a number one or two?
Not a number one, obviously, 100% to your point. I mean, like 2B would be helpful.
2B?
You know what I mean? Like sitting in that 2-3 spot would be beneficial.
How about this? Can he be a 3-4-1 ERA guy?
Is that what he was last year?
That's what he was last year.
I mean, I obviously we'd all take that. That's a 2.5-3 starter. Is Jim frozen? Why are you moving slowly?
26 starts. It's because I'm on Baseball Reference and it takes up all my data.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm on a computer from 1937.
Dude, I will I'm gonna buy you a new computer. It's just gonna arrive at your house.
Please, that'd be cool.
That'd be amazing. Wait, what were you saying? Because you froze for 5 minutes during your Baseball Reference.
I said Giolito last year, 26 starts, 145 innings pitched, 3.41 ERA.
Yeah, really good.
You'd take that in a fucking heartbeat.
Are they going to get that? I mean, maybe. Maybe they will with Ruben Niebla and pitching in the National League.
Okay, fine. Give me a 3.6 ERA. Give me a 3.7 ERA. Give me an ERA in the threes, good. And you're that's what you need.
Yeah, make 20 starts from here on out.
Michael King is your ace. Randy Vasquez is vaulted up to the number two. If Giolito and Griffin Canning, who, by the way, I think Griffin Canning pitched way better than his numbers showed on Friday. Obviously, the Tatis and the error. But rotation of King, Vasquez, Giolito, Canning, and Buehler.
Yeah, with Pivetta out.
Not the worst in the world. Could do way worse.
It's not. No, I agree. It's a good point. I think it helps you get where you need to get, which is, again, just towards the postseason. Ultimately, that's the goal right now. You know, it's not go win the World Series right this exact moment. I credit them for making that signing, obviously, or honestly, because we said all offseason they need starting pitching, and the way they addressed it wasn't good enough. Buehler, Marquez, credit Buehler. He was good today, but no, they needed to add on, and that's what they did with Giolito.
Isn't it crazy how in baseball now I'm looking at rotations and they back in the day it felt like you needed to have at least two lefties in your rotation to break things up. Padres have no lefties anywhere. I mean, they got JP Sears and whatever, but it's King, Vasquez, Buehler, Giolito, Pivetta, Musgrove,
whatever.
Whatever, who cares?
We'll figure that out along the way. That is interesting. Well, we'll see, because I think Giolito could pitch or will pitch probably on this road trip. Maybe Seattle, because if he just pitched today, you start doing the math on it. Maybe Seattle.
Makes sense.
And I would actually, if it's Seattle, and then I don't even know what the homestand looks like beyond the Dodgers, but I think it's a 9 or 10 game homestand.
They put the Braves in there too.
Jeez. So this is a real stretch, dude. This is a real stretch.
This is what the Padres, holy shit. So you got Milwaukee, Seattle for the 6-game road trip. Listen to this homestand. three against the Dodgers, 3 against the Braves, 3 against the Phillies.
And the Phillies are good now.
And then you go on a 6-game road trip through Washington and Philadelphia. And then, that wraps up the move.
You go with, it's a good time to kind of wake up, because can you mirage your way through that? Can you have bullshit offensive numbers for those 3 weeks and be like, you know what? There's still 10 games over 500.
Yeah, we're good. Wow. We're playing 600 ball still.
Yeah. So if they can bullshit their way through that, they credit
it
to them.
It will be because they're pitching.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, but are you just going to outpitch the Braves and the Dodgers and the Brewers lineup?
We'll find out.
Win series. Yeah, we are. We're going to find out over the next 3 weeks. We will. All right, guys. Do want to remind you about our friends over at SeatGeek. If you use our promo code PODSRAP10, click the link in the description down below. Bro. use our promo code PODSRAP10. Get 10% off your first order at SeatGeek. How about Padres Dodgers next Monday at Petco Park. Let's see.
Sure, tickets are cheap.
Two tickets. You know what? You can get it for $76.
Not bad.
You can get it for $76. Not bad. That's with fees. So 2 times 76 is $152, and then take 10% off. It's $15. You're getting in for $135. Two tickets to see the Padres and the Dodgers for $135. That's actually a very good value play.
Not bad. Not bad.
At SeatGeek. So again, Jim just told you that homestand, incredible homestand. Get there for any one of those or any number of games, whether it's the Padres or other sporting events or concerts or events coming to Southern California this summer or anywhere. SeatGeek has you covered, the number one rated ticketing app. Use our promo code PODSRAP10. Click that link in the description down below and get 10% off your first order.
Yeah, if you look on the screen there, you'll see green dots. Green dots mean good. Red dots mean bad. Look for the green dots when you go to SeatGeek and you look to purchase some tickets. And if you have not purchased some SeatGeek before, you're in luck because you can use our promo code for first-time buyers on SeatGeek. Use our promo code PODSRAP10 for 10% off your very first SeatGeek order.
Look at this, Jim. For only $1,821 a ticket, you can sit row four.
Dude, that's... I like that.
Actually, forget that. You could sit first row for $4,743 a ticket with fees.
Oh. I might move back to San Diego just to go to that game.
I mean, it's only 4,700 tickets. So, what is that? Maybe 9,500 for two tickets, but you get 10% off.
That's good. I like it.
And use our promo code. PODSRAP10. That's a massive game. I mean, I would definitely spend $10K for that Monday game against the Dodgers.
I had $10K, you know what? I'm just going to put all on my credit card. I'm going to fly back to San Diego to go to that game.
What is the most you've ever spent on a concert or event, sporting event? And it's not 10K.
No, I went to a Lakers Warriors game in LA.
That's right. I remember that with your brother.
I went with my brother and at the time his wife. And
what do you mean at the time?
They're divorced.
Did I know that?
I don't know.
How long have they been divorced?
For years.
Okay.
Three tickets.
Yeah.
Guess how much?
Three tickets. I mean,
it's like all the fees and bullshit.
Lakers home. I mean, over a grand.
Obviously. Lakers Warriors. It was like a Sunday afternoon too. It's like an ABC game.
People cared about the Warriors. $1,190.
$850.
It's good. That's a good amount of money. It's a good amount.
It was crazy because LeBron had, I think, 55 that game.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, he scored like 50. Steph had like 36, and LeBron was hitting like half court shots and shit. It was like, what the fuck's happening? It was a dope game to go to. It's a game I'll remember for sure. Lakers won, but yeah, LeBron had like, go back and look. I think it was like 3 years ago. LeBron had like 52 or something.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What was I going to say to you? Did you get reimbursed from your brother's ex-wife?
No, it was actually, it was a present for Patrick when he graduated. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That's a nice present. I don't think I've ever spent more than $200-$300 on a ticket per ticket.
I almost spent $500 to go to a Padres, playoff game last year, but then, or no, 2 years ago.
No, that much money?
Actually, no, I was
maybe for two tickets.
I waited till the last minute. I think they were like $150 each, remember? Or like $180 each. And I waited till the last minute. And because I waited till the last minute, stupid fucking whatever site I was using, like, didn't let me download the tickets.
Right.
I was so pissed.
We were downtown. Wasn't Erin meeting you or something? She came down, I think.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you can get to Petco with her friends at SeatGeek. All right. That's going to do it, right? We had an early edition here of the wrap-up show. What's our schedule for the upcoming week, Jim? The ball is in your court. Actually, hold on.
We're on a TBD.
No, it's a TBD, bro. Well, what's my schedule?
Yeah, what are you doing? Because you got that one. What do you do on the side?
Padres Collective.
Oh, wow. That's really nice.
Presented by Prospects.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Hold on, I'm trying to find my schedule. Kevin, what's going on here? What's that?
There's a lot going on here with both of us.
There is. I'm doing a show Thursday, May 14th at 8:30.
What time? At 8:30?
Yeah, Thursday. Padres Collective.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I know, because that's a day game, right? Oh, no, we can do Wednesday. Why don't we do Wednesday? Because they play 4:40 Pacific. That's not even late. We'll find an early time on Wednesday.
Wednesday, I think we could do Wednesday, because it's like 7:40, 8:40, like 10 o'clock, 10:15.
No, they played 4. Oh, they played 7:40 your time?
Yeah, so they'd be done by like 9:40-ish. We can do right after the game. So yeah. We'll do Wednesday.
Yeah. I don't know about right after the game. Well, like 8 my time.
Okay.
Actually, that's going to work. That's when the game's going to end.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll do Wednesday. You're in for Wednesday. We'll do Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, no?
And then next week is going to the Dodger series.
Yeah, we're doing every day.
9:40 each day for me.
Oh, dude, there's a simple fix here. Move to San Diego.
I get it.
Come back.
Okay.
I see your whatever, your social media feed, whatever, your handle. What do I see? I see your timeline. Everyone hates you.
Dude.
You did. We didn't even talk about that. You did ignite some people based on saying not a great look when Tatis left the clubhouse Friday night.
You think?
I mean, yeah. Not everyone disagreed.
No,
I
mean, but a lot of people were like, who cares? And like, he's going through it right now. Let him do it. Like, guys, he's a professional athlete. And when you duck the media after you have a poor performance and you have the biggest play in the game, that's not a good look, especially when you're slumping the way you're slumping. Okay. And you have that type of miscue in right field that essentially cost your team the game, kind of. And you duck the media. It's not a great look. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care who it is. It's not a great look. But let me just read a couple of these. I just want to read a couple of
Please.
These. They're actually pretty funny. Where is it? Because you send me some stuff. All right. So this guy, his name is at Killer Shot 20. Man, he fucking hated me. So I commented on someone's tweet saying, fuck that, who gives a shit? All your chismosas, what the fuck is that? Wanted to see him break down or crash out. He's fucking human. Let him have a moment in peace. Give me a break. Give me a fucking break. The guy's a professional.
Was that like Tatis's burner?
I don't know. But like, we're treating this guy like he's 5 years old. Like, shut the fuck up. So I commented LOL because I don't even have the capacity or time to even like get myself involved in that. And nor do I care. And then this guy at Killershot 20, he responded, funny how I called your ugly ass a vulture, but you had no fucking response, limp dick. So then I responded, I go, that's the best you got, LOL. Just like egging him on, right? Just fucking egging him on. And then he went in. He goes, no, Jim, a little dick vulture like you always waits until something's dead to peck at it. Must be sad. Must be a sad way to make money in SD. I don't live in San Diego anymore. You're a wannabe journalist. Never was a journalist.
No, we're not.
But in reality, you're a piece of shit heckler with a blue check. Happy Mother's Day, bitch.
Wow.
I responded, I mean, this is a little better, but not really. Not impressed.
And then did he block you?
Then he goes, I'd give you more, but your timeline suggests you've already got enough L's for one day. Maybe a dick up your ass can impress you, but then again, you don't deserve that. And then he blocked me like a coward.
Wow. Yeah. All because you said, Tatis, like, be a man, talk to the media Friday night.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to, because he blocked me. So if anybody wants to go in on this, and then I look at his page. And he like quote, he like took a picture because he thought he was like all cool and stuff. He's like, I told this person. He's like, fuck this guy. I'm like, dude, you're not cool. You're a fucking loser. You're some rando on the internet that I should never even responded to and given the light of day to. But I gave you the most interaction probably that you've ever gotten on your stupid little page. So congratulations. You blocked me. You won.
So dumb.
I know.
By the way, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
You kind of buried the lead. After all that.
Happy Mother's after Day, all that, buddy.
After all that. Happy all Mother's Day to those celebrating, to the moms out there, to our viewers, to their moms, to your families. Happy Mother's Day. Padres win in miraculous fashion on Mother's Day. And people are ripping into Jim on social media. What's new? You know, I'll be honest. No, I sent a card. I didn't get a gift. Oh, did I get a gift for my mom? No. I'm trying to get a gift for Kristen, but that hasn't come to fruition yet either. Even though
Bro, Mother's Day's passed. Oh, you didn't get Kristen a gift?
No, we went to a jewelry store, but she wanted something, and then she tried it on. She's like, oh, it looked different on Instagram. I'm like, well, now what?
Because you get her flowers, you idiot.
Well, I do, dude. Hold on. There's flowers here. Flowers. Just these she actually brought for herself.
You didn't get her any... You fucking...
It's like, look at these flowers. They're like dead.
There's two flowers in there. Those are the saddest looking flowers ever.
So sad.
Dude. No,
there's a card. Here. What'd you do?
My mom told me not to do anything for this year. So I didn't do anything, but I did call her and posted something about her on social media. And she was at my brother's house today for like a barbecue and stuff. So, yeah, she's it's fine. I send her stuff all the time.
Oh yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
So good, dude. So good. No, I tried to get. We went to a freaking jewelry store.
You didn't get her anything. Cheap. Yeah, no shit. You're probably thinking to yourself, well, they're like, glad I didn't get anything.
No, because then afterwards, I'm like, what do you want? I'm like, there's a whole store here. Get something else. No, I want it to be like what I want. Well, I'm like, well, now it's Friday. And Mother's Day is Sunday. So, like, I mean, what am I supposed to get you? Like a Shea jersey, which she already has.
Okay. You could have just got her like a card.
No, I did. Of course, got a card.
Okay. It's fine. What did Jones get his mom first?
Oh, he got all kinds of stuff. He wrote this Supermom, The Flood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more important when the kid does the stuff for the mom for Mother's Day. Okay. Supermom.
It's a good book.
Oh, nice. I like that book. I could actually read that. It's pictures.
Yeah. Oh, he also made her this. Hold on. Look at this. Made at school.
Oh, wow. Is that like a jewelry holder? No, wait.
No, it's like heart. It's like clay hearts.
Just hearts.
It's like hearts.
Wow.
And so he did a better job than that.
Better job than both of us. Wow. He went all out for Mother's Day.
He went all out.
Good for him.
It's like flowers on the back.
See, you know, that gets you off the hook because all the stuff that Jones did will take away from anything you would ever do. And what he does is more important than what you do.
Yes. Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. Like, this is really nice.
It's cute.
Yeah.
It's very, very artistic of Jones to write a book and then make hearts.
Yeah, exactly. And get me off the hook. That's exactly right.
Exactly. Exactly right. You try to make food.
I did. I made a meal tonight.
Was it 4 hours? Good.
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, we didn't die. So that was basically my hope. Holidays, by the way, real quick, and I know you got to run. Like, there's a lot of, it's challenging. It can be tough. Like a Mother's Day. There's a lot of pressure in there.
Not really. There's like no pressure at all. Like the bare minimum is like all we have to do. I mean, like literally the bare minimum. Like Valentine's Day, get her flowers, get her a card. Mother's Day.
What about the 1 year with Aaron? And I'm like, dude, get Aaron. Aaron's like, I don't need flowers for Valentine's Day.
That was because that was our first ever Valentine's Day. And
good call.
Yeah, it was not great. It was awful.
First ever Valentine's, you didn't get her flowers.
No, because in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm like made dinner and I got the special dinner and I was going to make it and everything. And we even talked about, and this was like how I learned, like never listen to this. She's like, oh, we're going to do anything for Valentine's Day. I like come home from work and there's like this card and like all my favorite candy and like a watch. And I'm like, oh shit. I just had like pasta.
See, it's not just me.
It was bad.
That's insane.
But it's all right. We're married, so everything's good.
Exactly. That's my theory. That's exactly my theory.
They're not going anywhere. It's like, it's fine.
I mean, you never know, honestly. You never know. All right. So let's do this again Wednesday night. We'll find the right time to do it on Wednesday. That'll be following game 2 of the Padres Brewers series in Milwaukee. Appreciate you guys hanging out. A little early start time here on this Sunday night. We are back on Wednesday. Please support our partners, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, our friends at SeatGeek and Prize Picks, Hamul, our new partners, the Freedom Boat Club player of the game as well, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s bat, the first ever player of the game, brought to you by Freedom Boat Club. All right, back Wednesday. Please subscribe to this channel. Thank you for the super thanks if you are here on replay. For Jim, I'm John. Peace, guys. This has been the wrap-up show. Happy Mother's Day.
Peace.